As we come this morning, we want to talk about God's benefits package. In the 103rd Psalm, we see benefits for being a child of God. And because of those benefits, we should have a thankful heart.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Just Be Thankful for What You Got. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Just Be Thankful for What You Got.
Yahweh Tsidkenu, the God our righteousness. He is the God. We were studying yesterday in care group about the righteousness that God brings. And I like the way Wiersbe said it, because you'll notice he said that God didn't make us righteous, right? But God declares us righteous. We get Christ's righteousness. And what does Christ's righteousness do? It declares us in right standing before God. And it means that our sins are gone. What a benefit. What a benefit. I left the place in the notes for maybe if there's something that you, especially as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, that you can thank the Lord for in reference to Yahweh Tsidkenu, the one who heals. The one who forgives your iniquities. What can you put in there? You may want to make it cryptic, right? Because in case you put down something bad and somebody gets a hold of it, right? So make it cryptic that only you and God know. The next thing we see, Yahweh Rapha. What a benefit. What a benefit. Who healeth all thy diseases. And you know, when you think about it, that everybody will get healed. No matter how sick you are, that everybody will get healed. I guarantee if you are a child of God, that everybody will get healed, right? Either in this life or in the next life. Who healeth? Who healeth? Now, he does. What a blessing it is that God heals our diseases. You know, when you think about, and whenever I pray, whenever I go to the hospital or I pray with somebody over the phone who's dealing with a surgery, one of the things that I always pray is this, is that, Lord, we know the doctors can do the cutting. We know the doctors can perform the surgery. We know that the doctors can prescribe medicine. We know that the doctors can read x-rays. But only you. Oh man, somebody hear me this morning? Only God can heal. Only God can heal. If you got a broken leg, right? The only thing that the doctors can do is set the leg in place for it to what? For it to heal. Because God is the one who puts healing in the body. I've shared with you on many occasions when I had infections in my leg, and I could pull up my pants leg and show you about 10 holes that I had in my leg. 10 holes about a nickel and a quarter size, different ones, about a quarter of an inch deep. Right? And I'm looking, and my wife is packing my wounds with gauze because the hole was deep. And a couple times, me and her, it was almost it, right? I said, "You're not doing it like the nurse did it at the hospital." She said, "Well, why don't you go get the nurse at the hospital?" But holes in my leg, flesh filled back in, skin grew over. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a benefit. Pastor Glaze has realized the benefits of a God who heals. I'm thankful. When I look down at my leg and I see the scars, I'm thankful of a God that heals. You know, that was a dark period in my life for me. It was a period over a couple years where I was in and out of the hospital. And I can look back and I can be thankful to God, to the God who heals. And that we have the assurance that if you don't get healed on this side of glory, that there's a healing waiting for you on the other side. Sometimes that's not always what we want to hear. But God does heal. He does heal. The next thing we see, I like this right here, Yahweh Roi, from Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. That word there, the phrase there, Yahweh Roi. The Lord is the one who goes on shepherding me. And notice what it says, that, you know, if we went back and just read that 23rd Psalm, you know, we would see how he leads us in paths of righteousness. We would see how he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. We would see how he leads us beside still waters. We would see how he leads us to green pastures. He redeems our life from destruction. That our lives would be on a path headed for destruction. But what does God do? That before we get to that point, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. That when I'm getting weary, when I'm getting worn, and when I'm about to lose my mind up in here, he leads me to green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, sheep will not drink from a river. And so the shepherd can't lead the sheep to a river. That the shepherd leads the sheep to still waters. And just think, when you are frustrated and angry and upset, the worst thing that you can do is be out in the hustle and the bustle and the rush. Because that just adds to your aggravation. That just adds to your stress. But thank God that he redeems our life from destruction. The great shepherd leads us to places where we can get ourselves together again. Now, I don't know what people do who don't know God, because, you know, it just seems like they are left with their thoughts. They are left with their anguish. They are left with their frustrations. But I thank God that I have a place that I can go and I can get in his presence where there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That at the end of the day, when whatever your job is or whatever stress that you had to deal with that day, that there is a place that you can go and just seek that peace, seek that comfort, seek that quietness, and have your soul refreshed and restored. Otherwise, man, it just, life sometimes can be overbearing and overwhelming. If you haven't found that quiet place, man, I pray to God that you find it. And it also says that as Jehovah Roi, the one who shepherds us, that he loves us, that the shepherd loves his sheep and lays down his life for the sheep. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I love that word, loving kindness. I've shared on many occasions before that's the Hebrew word, hesed. H-E-S-E-D, hesed, that phrase, loving kindness, one Hebrew word, hesed. And if you were to look up hesed, and I remember I had a professor, he explained hesed like this, that when I'm in a love relationship with God, that I hold on to God and God holds on to me, and that we are in a love relationship, but sometimes I get weak. Sometimes I get weary. Sometimes I get worn. And I, as much as I try to hold on, my hand just lets go and I start to slip. But thank God, he got me. That's Hesed. That's Hesed. As a matter of fact, some commentators translate Hesed, oh, love that will not let me go. Oh, love that will not let me go. Man, what a benefit. What a benefit. You ought to be thankful for what you got. Man, I thank God that I'm in a relationship with a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. I thank God that I'm in a relationship with a God who holds on to me when I have no power or no ability to hold on to him. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Oh, oh. Woo! Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides, the God who provides, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. David said he satisfies us with good things, that he provides us. You remember Abraham, God told him, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and offer him up to me. And Isaac went up to Mount Moriah, and he laid down his son, and Isaac said, Dad, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. And if we read Hebrews chapter 11, you know, it talked about the fact that Abraham believed that either God was going to provide a sacrifice or that he was going to raise Isaac from the dead in Hebrews 11. And then I remember when I was studying Hebrew in seminary, and we studied this passage, and this passage was written in the language where Abraham said, watch this, me and the boy, we will go to the mountain to worship. Me and the boy, we will worship, and me and the boy, we will return. God, he believed that God was going to provide. Let me ask you, child of God, this morning, what need do you have? What are you in need of today? Do you believe that God is able to provide a ram in the bush? What a benefit. What a benefit. You know, as we as a church trust God for things, you know, we believe that he's going to provide. That we are trusting God to make a way and that God will provide. I like what it says. It says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. What a benefit. What a benefit. Next, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. This is Yahweh Sabaoth. And this is where we read in Psalm 24 and in other places that the Lord of hosts. And whenever you see the Lord of hosts, that means the Lord of armies. That he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. And notice what it says. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. You know, I struggle, saints. There are some things that I struggle with. I struggle with people going into a synagogue and or a person going into a synagogue and shooting 11 people and taking their lives. I struggle with somebody going into a yoga studio and shooting people and killing them. You know, I struggle with people who, over 100 now, I believe, that lost their lives in a fire. And the thing that I struggle with, I say, where is the justice? You know, I mean, where is the justice? Here you are one day, right? That you are living your life. You are enjoying your life. And then the next thing you know, it's gone. And you know, I think I've said this from this pulpit before, and that is, I don't have it all figured out, because I know that you got to be saved. I know that you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be with God. I understand that. And I preach that. I believe that 100%. I don't question that at all. But I wonder, how does God somehow make that right? For people who just innocently got wiped out, how is that ever made right? And I just have to believe somewhere in this big universe that God got that thing worked out. I don't know. I don't know. Again, I'm saying this, that I 100% I believe that you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to get into heaven. There's no question about that. That's what I'm basing my salvation on. I'm not basing it on anything less or anything more. That's the only thing I'm basing my salvation on. But I just wonder, you know, how is that other stuff made right? And then, you know, turn to James. James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5 and verse 4. And here, God is condemning the rich. And he's not condemning them because they're rich, but he's condemning them because of their treatment of the poor. And notice what he says in verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is kept back by fraud, that there was an injustice that was committed. There was unrighteousness that was committed. You have kept back the wages by fraud. And notice what it says here. It says, they cry, and the cries of them who have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That their cries have entered the ears of the God who executes righteousness and judgment upon all those who are oppressed. That there's a God who makes every wrong right. That there is a God who sits high but walks low. And he's got this thing in his hands. I'm not God. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I don't know. And there's some things I just leave in the hands of God and say, God, you got it. Because you are Yahweh Sabaoth. You are the God of armies, and you are the one that executes righteousness and judgment. I like this one right here. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord who is with us, the Lord who is present, that God who is present. Notice what it says here. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. My brothers and sisters, whenever you come, you have a close, intimate relationship with God. Just think what the Bible says. It says that Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to another man. That there was an intimate relationship there. Jehovah Shammah, the God who is with us. Yahweh Shammah, the God who is with us, right? The God who is present in your life. The God who whispers, and you hear his voice, and you are ready to do his bidding. Look at this. He made his ways known unto Moses. Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Do you know what God wants you to do? You know, we have new members class, and we have about seven members, new members in the new members class. And one of the reasons that they have come and united with Bethany, because they feel that this is the place God wants them. This is where God wants them. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Do you know what God wants for your life? Do you know the plans that he wants for your life? Do you know where, young people, do you know where he wants you to go to college? Do you know where the mate that he wants you to be involved? Do you know, do you have God's word on those things? It's very easy for us to get our word on those things and let the flesh override us and the flesh control us and the flesh dictate to us who we want to be with. But have you drawn close to the Lord? And do you know God's ways? He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The benefits of God. If you go to that next one. Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. The God of peace. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Notice it says he's gracious. And you know, because we're going to look at grace and mercy together. And as we look at grace and mercy together, and I'll finish with this. But God's grace is his goodness toward the undeserving. And God's mercy is his goodness to those who are in distress. That's kind of a general categorization of those two words. Sometimes they might not always cleanly fit in every situation, but those are the two generalizations, that God's grace is his goodness toward the undeserving. And just think about salvation. How many of us deserve salvation? How many of us deserve to be saved? Not one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. You know, we are sinners by birth. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And we are sinners by choice, that we choose to sin. We are born in sin and we choose to sin. We are undeserving. But what does God do? God gives us grace. And he sends his son to die on the cross for the undeserving. And we also see that God is merciful. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. And that is, he gives us mercy. That when we are in distress, that when we are in trouble, you know, we have God's mercy. And he looks down on us. And sometimes we ask for grace when in actuality we need mercy. That we are in distress. We are troubled. We are fleeing. And we need God's mercy. And we ask the Lord, come, Lord, be merciful to me. I shared with you that night that I ran out of gas in the middle of the night, in the middle of the country, and there was no cars coming by. Every now and then a big semi would come by and blow. I tried to get out, hitchhike, and just blow right by me. And I realized that I was out there until the morning. And I remember just getting back in my car, and I started quoting the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in that situation, you know, I didn't need, because I didn't know what was out there in the middle of the cornfields. I didn't know what was out there. I said, Lord, I don't need your grace. I need your mercy. Lord, I said, Lord, I'm in distress, and I need your mercy. And so this Thanksgiving, let us be thankful for what we got. And, you know, you might say, well, I can't think of anything that I can be thankful for, right? Then all you got to do is read the 103rd Psalm, the first 8 verses, and you should find something in there to be thankful for.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Why Christians Celebrate Christmas. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, just be thankful for what you got, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Just Be Thankful for What You Got. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Just Be Thankful for What You Got. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.